Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Thursday morning. It is 7 o'clock and it is cold outside, but it's hot, hot, hot in the building downtown where they play Rockets basketball. Now, not last night. They went on the road. But your Houston Rockets, ladies and gentlemen, your Houston Rockets, this just in, I don't want to say give them the title yet, Dell, but... Yeah, I said Dell because John's at the most important time of the year or whatever where he goes to Cabo to play golf and sells it as a work vacation, but he can't even get on. Pathetic. Can't even connect to the show. Absolutely pathetic. But I also don't know if he got to watch our Rockets yesterday. The Rockets stomp out the Denver Nuggets last night in what was clearly the Rockets game from start to finish. And, okay, so Nikola Jokic didn't play. And some people are saying, okay, yes, he's got the best statistical profile in the history of basketball from a points, rebounds, assists, and the biggest impact on games. Okay, sure, whatever. It wouldn't have mattered. So the Rockets would have, instead of winning 128 to 108, I guess it would have been 122 to 1. I'd say he's worth 6 points. 14. They still would have won by 8, is what my numbers tell me. When I ran my modeling and I simulated my modeling of some of my numbers and my advanced metrics, even with Jokic in there, I still had the Rockets winning by 8. Instead, he didn't play. They won by 20. And it was a game where the Rockets' Jalen Green hit the 30-point mark once again, 34 points. But more importantly, I just think the Rockets right now are what's really stands out about this team. Yeah, you didn't have Jokic. And plus, Denver is not the same team they have been in the past. Although they've played better of late. They were off to a really bumpy start. They're 24-16. They're not the same team with Jokic out, obviously. However, the thing that stands out about the Rockets to me right now is that you're getting way more consistency out of the efforts. The 48 minutes are much more consistent. The game-by-game-by-game performance is much more consistent. You're home and away. You're much more consistent on the road where you have a much better chance. You just don't throw in a lot of stinkers if you're the Houston Rockets. They're 27-12 right now. They're 13-6 on the road. 13-6. A quick, now I'm a numbers guy, so I'm able to think faster than most of you, but that makes them 14-6 at home. They're equally good on the road as at home right now. And that's the sign of a really good team in sports, whether it's baseball, basketball, football. Typically, the teams, if you want to play at a high level, you want to be considered a high-level team, you want to win at a high level, you've got to be able to win on the road. Now, there's some, you'll be able to find some outliers, and you'll say, what about this, Lance? And you'll be the what about guy. But the fact is, the best teams, the teams who are really good and can compete year in and year out, typically play well on the road. It shows a level of mental toughness. It shows a level of consistency. It shows a level of focus. And it typically shows an ability. Usually you're a pretty good pitching team. You're a pretty good defensive team in football or basketball. You are pretty disciplined. You don't win on the road unless you have some level of discipline. Ask the Texans. They have a hard time winning on the road. They're not very disciplined. But the Rockets play with discipline. They get a little out of order sometime, a little bit. They're a little chippy sometime, and they lose their cool. But they play defense, so they don't give up a lot of easy baskets. So I can tell you, watching Rockets basketball is so much more enjoyable, but I had a feeling, not to this level. I did not see it to this level, but I had a feeling this would be a faster come-up year than a lot of people expected because, and I'm just going historically, when you see young teams with a lot of talent, all of the players on a roster are all improving at the same time. And Rockets are a bunch of young 20-somethings for the most part. So it should be expected that they are like every player is continuing to get better. And for the most part, they will, just at different levels. But if you expect a certain number of players to take bigger jumps earlier in their career than others, and yet you have like seven guys of your core, six or seven guys who are fall into that range of young player getting ready to continue to get better and better, and some at even expedited rates, what you end up getting is a faster jump start into not only prominence, but, well, I think prominence is the word I'm looking for, because that's what's happening with the Houston Rockets. They got a lot of guys getting better at the same time. They got a coach who understands, you know, how to get the most out of them. They play with discipline. They play with defense. And now the jump has been substantial in a short period of time. But this is not brand new. Like, this happens, especially in basketball. This is the model in basketball where it happens quickly. We saw it with the Warriors. I'm not saying the Rockets or the Warriors, totally different teams. But Warriors had a lot of young talent. They couldn't get it done under Mark Jackson. But then all of a sudden, when it came together, it was a massive jump up very, very quickly. And that's the kind of stuff that happens. So Rockets win last night. If you watched it and you want to talk about it, you can. We now have our correspondent from Cabo. I can hear in the other room as he's saying test, test, test. John, are you there yet?
I'm here.
All right, there you are.
I am in a closet.
Well, you can come out of the closet.
Johnny.
After this many years, come out of the closet.
No, I can't, because otherwise I can't broadcast. So, no. I don't know, for whatever reason, the Wi-Fi didn't. So this is where I broadcasted from a couple of years ago when I was here, and it's fine. It's cool. I am in his AV room, and I had to connect to the router. Otherwise, I couldn't get on. And so here I am, and I'm going to be connecting. You'll be able to see Johnny in the closet.
Okay.
Not out of the closet, in the closet.
Okay.
Okay. That's where I'll stay for the next 3 hours, right here.
Stay in the closet.
I'm going to stay in the closet.
You owe it to Wendy.
Whew. Yeah, so we're good. Hey, how about them Rockets last night?
Mm-hmm.
They kicked ass.
Yeah, that's what I've been talking about.
Jalen with another huge game. Yeah, I would imagine you were talking about that. I didn't hear you, but I imagined you were talking about that.
Well, I did, but what I talked about was, now I didn't think it would be quite to this level. I did expect the Rockets to jump way up. I told a friend of mine, the 43.5 win total for the Rockets to me was a joke. I thought they could approach 50. Right now they're on pace for more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we'll see if it happens or not. But the thing I mentioned, John, is that the big difference between this year's team and any other team, I think the biggest difference, not any other team, the biggest difference with the Rockets is they're 13-6 on the road. They don't fall apart on the road. They don't have big momentum gaps. Like, of course, there's the ups and downs of every NBA game now. That's just game flow is different now than it was because of the three-point play. So you can go plus 10, minus 10 in a heartbeat. However, they're just really consistent. They're consistent on the road, and typically that's defense and that's discipline, because you don't have those cataclysmic mistakes that get momentum rolling out of control on you. And to be 13-6 at home and 13-6 on the road and 14-6 at home, that is saying something right now. The Rockets are 27-12, and I also said that when you have so many young players, they're all getting better at the same time. Like, everyone's still moving upwards in their career. They're ascending from the way that they're, you know, from the way that they're learning, the way that they're matching athleticism, which is going to be at its peak right now from an age standpoint, to skill, which you continue to learn. And that's one of the things that can push you forward at a faster rate than you expected. And I think that's what's happening with the Rockets. Players are getting better at a very quick rate right now. And then you pair it with a coach that's the right fit, And players who are really about that life, like Amen Thompson, I think like Jalen now, like Shingun, he still has a fun time, but he's serious about it. You got a bunch of guys, I think, that are the right combination of youth and now seriousness and willingness to play defense, and it's helping them make a jump way faster than some people.
Well, they bought in, you know. I mean, obviously, we talked about the Steven Silas era and what that was. That was just terrible for a young team to think that that's how. I mean, guys that came in here through here, veterans that came through here, were like, these guys don't get it. They don't know. It's just awful. And now Ime has turned it into a, you know, this is a profession. This is a career. This is how you go about it. And this is how you play night in and night out. Not the way that they were playing. It's just totally. And yeah, it starts there. It starts with Ime and what he has done. But the guy's getting older. I mean, I know now, Dell, this is 7 games into January, right, into the new year. But his numbers since Thanksgiving Eve, right? His numbers since Thanksgiving, we're not data dredging. He's been pretty good. He's really, really good.
His numbers since January have been awesome, spectacular.
Awesome.
Yes. He's been ridiculous in the month of January.
Right. So you know, and it's 7 games now. And you know what? And it's building. And it's yet another one. And we'll see if it's going to, you know, if he can continue to put them together. Another one and another one. It's great to see, and some of it is maturity. Some of it is he's growing up. Like I said, you know, when I asked Bobby Surra, he said, dude, he's 22. We don't know. You don't know when he's going to get it. And thank goodness they kept their poise, and they didn't go, we got to eject from this. We got to get out of this. Let's trade him. And let's see, because somebody else would be benefiting from that, and you wouldn't have gotten the value. How much is Jalen's value going up right now?
Yeah, but no, that's true. However, was it McManaman? Who was it yesterday, Dell, that came out from ESPN that said the Rockets? It's an ESPN reporter put the Rockets with Devin Booker. Said the Rockets have a serious interest in Devin Booker and/or
Jalen,
De'Aaron Fox. And when you know, it kind of works against what we, you know, it's very bittersweet. I think Devin Booker's a great player. I think he's better than Jalen Green as a basketball player. He's obviously not more explosive. Few people are. But there's just something about, I won't be crushed if Jalen's gone for Devin Booker by any stretch. I will say that the De'Aaron Fox thing, people in Sacramento aren't really, there's a little bit of smoke around maybe him not being all the way bought in where it's important enough for him. That bothers me a little bit. That's not the case with Devin Booker. Booker's a guy that everyone would love. You don't get Devin Booker for cheap, that's for sure. And the Phoenix Suns would have to be in a complete rebuild. So they'd want draft picks. They'd want Jalen. I would assume they'd want Jalen. I don't know. It's just the thought of even making a trade right now kind of, it bothers me a little bit. I don't know why, but you've been saying the whole time that the Rockets are dead set on making a trade and getting somebody else in here.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. Obviously.
Well, they keep being linked to trades.
They are. And one of the reports, I forget who it was, said the Rockets, like you said, the Rockets are inquiring. So, you know what? We'll talk about it, because Kendrick Perkins said yesterday, man, I love this team. I thought that they were a playoff team before the season started, but I'm not sure. I got to see more. And you know what? We still do have to see more.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we got to see them play better against, look at how they played against the Celtics. Against OKC that one time, they got blown up, their doors blown out. Look how they played against the Celtics, got their doors blown out. We got to see them play at the highest level. Now they have been. I mean, Denver took an, of course, you know, without, you know, we know the injury, but still, that was an ass whooping last night.
Yeah, in their home
at Denver,
John, as I said, when I ran my numbers and some of my advanced modeling.
He didn't run any numbers.
No, you didn't do
some of my like spreadsheet
that.
Stuff that I was working on off of Google Docs, and I did some AI and some Gronk and also or Grok or whatever, and then I did Meta, and then I did push that other button that has AI, And what it came up with is the Rockets still would have won by 8 if Jokic was there.
Ah, okay.
So okay. He would have made a difference of 12.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, no, 12 points difference. Absolutely. Yeah, that's all he's worth.
That's what the modeling said.
That's what the model said? Okay. Yeah. You did all that. You broke all
that
down.
Yeah, I did a lot of the –
before you came in this morning? Okay.
There's a lot of computer vision I ran and some different types of AI.
The difference between Jokic getting the substantial amount of minutes at center versus DeAndre Jordan and whoever else they ran out there is 12 points?
Yeah.
Well, DeAndre Jordan is a better defender than Jokic.
Let's face it.
So that would have just meant even, you know – you would have had to give some up more on defensively. Points. The Rockets would have gotten to potentially 131.
More points.
Yeah.
More points.
It's what the model
says.
That's
what the
some
model.
Of the analytics.
Are you going to argue with
say.
AI, Dell?
Yes.
Are you going to argue with Meta?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you really arguing
yes,
with.
Yes, I am.
Okay. You're arguing with some of the AI stuff that's out there?
Yes.
Okay, well.
So,
it's simmed, so it doesn't
Zeke
matter.
Najee and DeAndre Jordan combined versus Jokic is 12 points in the Rockets' favor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
PFF had the Rockets. PFF gave
favor.
Them an 86, and they gave the Nuggets a 56.
Isn't that a football measuring site?
But they grade everything.
Yeah, right. No.
And if they have a grade on it, it's the truth.
And if you grade your windows, they're probably crappy right now. Okay, put it, your windows have an F or a D grade. Then what you need is Jim Fiume's windows, like Gulf Coast windows. That's what you need. You need it because Jim Fiume's windows are the best windows in the market. That's the quality grade. That's the best. That is, it's time after time after time. This is not, Jim Fiume, well, we got a new business. No, dude's been doing this for almost 40 years. Okay, so I guess he knows what he's doing. I guess he knows what the quality is. I guess he's been at the pinnacle. Wait, he won the Pinnacle Award for the Better Business Bureau. So here's the deal, is Jim Fiume and his windows are the best windows, and you're the one that benefits from them because you're the one that gets the Gulf Coast windows with the privacy, security, with the how economical they are, how they're saving your electricity because it's not escaping through the windows. Beauty and privacy are enough, okay, and security is awfully important as well. So you got all of those things heading your way with one call, 813-849-5454, 713-849-5454, or GulfCoastWindows.com.
The Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're back live from the closet here at the Cabo Cup. John and Lance along with Dell, 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. We're talking Rockets. Of course, we're going to talk some Texans here on the show. For those of you who want a Cabo Cup update, know the event starts this morning. And I'll be giving you live updates throughout. So I know you guys have been clamoring for any kind of update. Yesterday was a travel day, and here we are. Here we are and ready to go with all 16 athletes, high-power athletes, ready to compete at the highest level. So that's happening here while you guys are – it's cold there, isn't it? Is it cold there?
It's 41 this morning.
Yeah, it's not cold here. But So there's that. So if you guys need, just check me out at John Granato on Twitter, and I'll be updating you. I know you guys are chomping at the bit.
What are these updates going to entail? Are you giving a scores or just the nonsense you guys are getting up to? What do you mean updates?
Which team? Who's performing? Which team is leading? You've got 3 days of competition. And so we will we'll update. The people want to know, Del. The people have been clamoring.
Do you guys have team shirts and hats?
Yes, we do.
What is yours this year? Is that what it is, what I'm seeing right now?
No. Today is a dress, as you will. You'll see tomorrow's uniform. It's a light green this year, light green shirt, and then white. I don't know which one we'll see.
Do you look like Sherbert?
A little bit.
Like sherbet green?
Sherbet, yeah.
Lime?
Yeah.
So
is it sherbet?
No, sherbet. I've heard sherbet with an R.
Yeah, but yeah,
yeah, but it's spelled sherbet. So I say sherbet because I'm, you know, I'd like to do.
So you've got a light green top on, and you can pick whatever pants you want to wear.
No, with the light green, you'll wear blue shorts, and with the white top shirt, you'll wear gray shorts.
And it wasn't go get your own. These are all, were these laid out for you when you got to your room? How did they present you your uniforms?
No, everybody came to a dinner last night, and everybody picked up their gear. Yeah, we had a big dinner, ribs and chicken. It was excellent.
Did last year's winners get to pick the food?
No, that's the Masters.
Oh, so you guys don't carry that
tradition. We don't have that tradition. We have our own tradition, a tradition unlike the Masters.
So what's the tradition the tradition for the Cabo Cup? The one thing that always has to happen year after year.
Well, we go to Edith's, and the winner and the loser has to buy the last night.
You go to where?
Edith's.
Oh, over there?
Yeah, in Cabo, yeah.
Are there a bunch of Chachi people over there wearing like the same uniforms and whatnot?
No, there's just us.
That's not.
Well, it's not just us here. There's other people, by the way. But it's
there, we did have one person Twitch ask if you were able to find a gay bar quickly like you did in L.A.
to watch the Rockets.
I did not. We watched it here at the
house. Gay bar, to be clear. It wasn't just a gay bar in L.A. It was a sports gay bar.
Steve is a big Rockets fan. He's got season tickets. And so we had the Rockets here at his house.
Did you check in on your buddies at your bar to see if they survived the fires? Did you?
I don't know any friends of the people there.
And you didn't check in on them?
I don't know them. I met them one time. That was all.
And they were very friendly. And you didn't.
They were very friendly.
And you didn't think to check in to see how they're coming through all this?
I did not think because I don't know any of them. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Someone's your friend, and look what happened.
Yeah. Well, did you even check in on me?
I'm pretty clear.
And we work together every day.
No, I'm not your friend. Okay. I don't think I can make that any more clear.
We can't be tighter.
But you position yourself as someone who's nice, so I just assumed you check in with your buddies. I don't position myself that way. I tell people, I don't care what happens to John.
Okay.
So why would I check in?
Yeah. I don't care with those people that I don't even know. I care because I'm a good person.
Oh, okay. You're a good person, but you didn't even check in.
Unlike you. I care about people.
You spent an afternoon hanging out, finding out their names, and watching baseball, was it?
We were watching Astros. Yeah. We were watching Astros.
Didn't even check in.
Yep.
Man of the people, huh?
Yep. Man of the people. Larry and Stafford is on hold. Let's get him in.
No, Stafford.
Stafford and Umble.
Oh, Stafford. Sorry, Stafford and Umble.
Yeah.
I thought it was Larry and Stafford, but Stafford and Umble. Okay, so I got my Staffords mixed up. What do you say, Stafford?
I've got him up.
Stafford and Umble. All right.
Maybe his cheek hit the mute button on his phone.
That happens. No, that happened.
Maybe he's snoring like Gilbert because he has been on hold for a little bit.
Maybe. I didn't hear him snoring, though.
You know, we had a couple calls on Rockets. I think I think the Rockets thing is going to be mostly, as we call them, P1s, you know, people who are really into Rockets. I think it's going to be mostly that until the end of the year where people who don't pay as close of attention will want to get into a playoff run. And then they'll start jumping in. And that's where you re-earn your fans or earn new fans. I saw it with the Astros in 15 where it's a 162-game schedule. You're coming off a terrible – and you don't really have headline-grabbing players. You had Altuve. You did have a Cy Young Award winner with Dallas Keuchel. You had a young Carlos Correa, a young George Springer. But people who had checked out after the Astros kept losing 100 games a year or in that vicinity – once they got into the playoffs, it's like, or close to the playoffs or in the playoffs, then all of a sudden they were like, let's start watching Astros baseball again. I think that's what's going to happen with the Rockets. I'm not worried. There's a lot of Rocket fans who are, right now hardcore Rocket fans. They have been for a few years now. Those Rocket fans are going to always, they're going to always, they're going to watch every game. They're going to be all into it. You're going to start picking up the additional fans as soon as you make the playoffs. I think that's when it will happen. And then they'll build from there, and we'll see how it goes. There's a chance now I mean, there's a chance that we're building into a Rocket Texans future, and the Astros are headed down after the Astros have really kind of, I don't want to say owned the city for 7 years, but they've had a pretty good stranglehold on it.
No, no.
Because
the greatest run by any Houston team ever.
Yeah, the longest even, for sure. Yeah. And the greatest. It's not greatest. Even close.
Yeah, no, it's not close.
So it'd be awesome to have all three really good at the same time. I don't think that's going to happen, but to have two of your three really good, is that's great for people who listen to Sports Talk, who do Sports Talk, or just sports fans in general. And it looks like we're going to have that. Right now, if you had to make your pick on who's going to win a champion, who's going to be in a championship first? Who's going to be in a championship series first? Rockets, Astros, or Texans in Super Bowl? Right now, where do you stand right now?
Well, the Texans are the closest right now. I mean, they're one game away from it. So,
yeah.
Although I don't know how close that is,
well,
when it's the
away.
Chiefs.
They're two games away.
No, they're playing. They'll play in the AFC Championship if they win this. Oh, you're talking about the
Super Bowl. Yeah, playing for a championship.
Oh, play for a championship. Well, yeah, that's a daunting task. And I don't know, quite
it
frankly.
Doesn't sound, it's like, hey, they're only two games away, but man, is that a long
two
games.
No, it's a long way. That's a long way away. When it's the Chiefs and then the Bills or Ravens. So, yeah, that's a long way away. Probably the Rockets. Although I guess we're done with the Astros. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that we're totally done with the Astros.
Don't. The Astros don't look like. I just said playing for, not winning.
Right.
But I don't know that the Astros look like they're in the best shape. I mean, they keep losing core players. Altuve keeps getting older. You've got injury issues at pitcher, and you don't have really a. You're not really set at 1-2-3 like you have been in the past. We're really spoiled with the 1-2-3s, like Verlander, Cole, not really Greinke as much, but Fromber.
Fromber, yeah.
Like the Astros, the Christian Javier that 1 year, the Astros, we have been very spoiled by phenomenal talent at the plate and from a pitching standpoint.
And you don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see if Hunter and we'll see if Aaron Geddie, Brunell's older, but. He's a solid right now. What he looks to be is a solid four.
I'd say Hunter. Yes. Do you really put Eric Geddie in the same category as
he do?
Fromber, Cole, and JV?
I mean, he was just a rookie, and he looked really good. I mean, he had a really nice rookie season.
He did. He had his moments.
And he's got a whip. I mean, his ball's got movement. He learns to pitch.
And Fromber came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm taking the Astros.
Yeah, the Astros might still be it.
You're taking the Astros over the other two?
The Rockets, as they are presently constituted, have not won a playoff game, let alone they got to go win three series to get to a finals.
Well, we said that about the Astros in 15.
Well,
and they made it,
and then they made the playoffs, then took a step back, and then won in 17 after they added Verlander. So
they made a trade to Verlander.
It wasn't initial.
The Rockets have pieces to add trades whenever they want.
The history of the NBA, you mentioned the Warriors. The Warriors failed in the playoffs, then hired a coach, and they succeeded. Generally speaking, a team led by 23-year-olds doesn't win big. So I'm not going to lean into the Rockets right now because they got to go through. They got to pick up scars in the playoffs.
Here's the deal, though. The Astros have got to do it in a hurry because the window is closing.
Yeah,
you're going to lose Fromber after this.
I understand.
All they do is subtract from their core. They don't really add to their core.
Even as they stand now, I think this year's Astros team has a better shot of playing for a title than the two teams.
That's the question, yeah. Does this year's Astros team, Texans or Rockets? I would say...
Yeah, the Texans are a ways off from being the top team.
They are, because even if you were to upset Kansas City, man, getting past Baltimore or Buffalo seems really, really tough.
Yep. Especially if it's Baltimore. You just don't look good against them at all.
I know. Well, you got to go to freezing cold weather. Well, you're going to go to cold weather either way, more than likely. But, man, you got the two best quarterbacks in football that you have to deal with.
Yeah. You got three of the top quarterbacks in the NFL right now, I would say the top three, in front of you.
You can say Burrow if you want because Mahomes didn't have as good a year, but Mahomes has done more than any of these guys.
Yeah, right. If you're taking Mahomes out of the equation of a top three, then I don't know what you're smoking. 732 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Lance and I right now, and if you want to get in, come on up. 713-780-3776. Lance and I both are big Billy Brown fans, okay? Billy Brown has done a lot for us, both of us. I never needed a plumber before until, and thank God we had, we started talking about Aqueduct Plumbing Company, because then all of a sudden, wow, I got this, I got that, and Billy's like, wow, you just are a pain. Well, sorry, Billy, but people have pipe problems. I don't know if you heard, okay? Here's the deal. When I had a problem, I called Billy. And Billy was like, Johnny on the spot. He was there. We had a leak, and Billy that came out right away. And when you got a leak, it's serious. It's got to be done now. These guys are going to get there, and they're going to take care of business for you. You're looking for – now, they are really, really busy. I don't know if it's us. I don't know what it is, Lance. But these guys are they are swamped out there every day. But if you got an emergency, man, they'll be there for you.
Yeah, and they have been there for me for an emergency when I had a big freeze coming. I got to tell you, we're getting ready to have three straight days where we're in the 20s. That's serious freezing. If you're worried that your pipes aren't, you know, if you're worried about your pipes at all, if you're worried about anything having to do with the freeze, call Aqueduct Plumbing Company and say, hey, I know we got a big freeze coming up. Is there something you can do for me? Do you need to look at anything? Is there something you can do to make sure that I don't have any issues? And let them work on it. They can even tighten up your making sure that you're protected outside as well. They do those things, and while you're having that done, why don't you run hydrostatic tests to see if you have any leakage underneath your slab. It's Aqueduct Plumbing Company for the big jobs and the small jobs. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Before we get to the Texans or more Rockets talk, Quinn Ewers made it official yesterday. He's leaving for the NFL. Mm-hmm. All right, Lance, put it under, over. I'm going to say mid-second round.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's about where he goes.
Mid-second.
Yeah, I think that's about where he goes. I watched Jalen Milroe. He was better in 23 than 24, but he's probably a fourth-round pick typically. My guess is he goes in the third round. I haven't seen Shador and Cam and Quinn, but I've got to watch them. I got to watch them all and have them written up by next Tuesday, so I'll be spending a lot of time. I finished Travis Hunter, and I wrote him as a cornerback, and I wrote him as a wide receiver. So I have an entire scouting report as a quarterback, strengths wide receiver, strengths cornerback, weaknesses wide receiver, weaknesses cornerback. I have my comparison in the NFL at wide receivers, Devontae Smith. At cornerback, it was Darius Slay. Although a lot of people are making Champ Bailey comparisons for obvious reasons, because they both, you know, have played both ways, and he's good. I gave him a grade in a 6.8. His ball skills as a corner, you know, it's funny. His ball skills are great as a wide receiver. He's not very polished as a route runner. He just kind of gets by on athleticism in the early stages, but then when the ball goes up, he's insanely good. And when you take that kind of wide receiver talent and then you put it at cornerback, where a guy has instincts and elite ball skills and quickness and range, it's like you realize, holy crap. It's like putting, you know, it's like, I don't know, I can't think of who's a top flight wide receiver. You know, it'd be like if Malik Nabers, just a young Malik Nabers, or Jamar Chase with that size. It'd be like if Jamar Chase played cornerback and he was and his movement was just as fluid in every direction, where he knows where the throws are going, he recognizes routes. This is a cornerback who runs routes, so he recognizes what a route's going to be. Like I kind of get it now. Watching Travis Hunter as cornerback, I get it. He's going to be a cornerback who plays some on wide receiver, because it'd be a shame if you didn't play him both ways. Did you know he's got 2,600 snaps over the last 2 years, John?
Yeah,
that's the equivalent of playing four seasons.
He can't do that. He can't. No. He can't do that in the NFL.
No, it's too physical.
No, somebody's asking, is he slated to be a wide receiver or a corner?
He'll be a corner, but I think he will play.
He'll get some
eight
snaps.
To ten snaps a game at wide receiver.
Yeah,
that's what I think will happen. I think he'll do both. But I put a little tweet out there like that, and it was a big hubbub on Twitter yesterday because the fantasy football world that likes to already put together their dynasty rankings and all that, they're struggling with where to put Travis Hunter in their dynasty rankings early on because they don't know if he's going to be a receiver. And to be fair, he could get drafted by a team that wants him a wide receiver. I mean, that could absolutely happen.
Yeah.
And Deion could step in and say he's not going to play football at all. He'll just go he'll just go to Cabo, to the Cabo Cup. We won't let him play football unless you do exactly what I say. This is what's going to be real fun. When Deion tells teams where Travis Hunter is going to play, not only where he's going to play, but what position, what team. Then he tells teams who can draft his son. I've never seen anything like this. Deion, the dad, is going to – the closest is Archie Manning, but even Archie didn't – like, Archie didn't want the Chargers. Deion – it's not that he doesn't want Deion doesn't want 28 teams. He only wants about four teams for his son, and he'll tell you whether or not you're allowed to draft his son, and then he's going to do the same thing with Travis Hunter.
Well, I think Deion is looking for a team where he can be the coach and Shadur can be the quarterback.
I think he is too. Yep. He can act like he's not, but I think so too.
No, that's what he's looking for.
I don't think that's Jerry though. That's
no.
It would make some sense. But Jerry
Shador
just
won't last.
Jerry likes milk toast quarter head coaches.
What they finish 7-10? Where are the Cowboys drafting?
I don't think Shador high enough. Wouldn't they have to trade Dak to some team who wants a quarterback higher, and that's how they move up? How are they going to?
Man, you got to trade all that salary, and you got to take a salary. I'm sure you take a cap hit too, since you're trading a contract where you're going to have an acceleration of whatever signing bonus you gave them.
Don't worry, Lance. They're going to watch or at least read your breakdown of Shador and go, he's a steal where we're picking him. Cause, or
they're not going
to
say
no,
a steal.
No, you're right. They're going to
the other way.
They're going to hope other people believe what you're saying so he falls to them because, according to you, you don't think you're going to have a very high grade.
I haven't studied him close. I can say he's pretty accurate. He has no twitch at all. Very slow twitch guy. Can't get away from free-running blitzers. Is slow with his delivery, is not twitchy. It's going to be interesting. I can't wait to watch him, though, because some of the numbers I looked at yesterday, he's accurate with tight man coverage or a player one step away. Milroe was, like, awful. Quinn Ewers, I've got all these guys and all these data points and all these different throws that I can go look at. So I'm really excited to see what the quarterbacks look like.
Are you?
Not really. Actually, you know, when I said it out loud, you're right. I'm not actually excited. It feels arduous that I have to spend.
Yes.
I just spent an hour and a half watching tape of Jalen Milroe, and it wasn't great. It wasn't very fun.
That's not fun.
How do you feel about you having to elevate those guys when you know full well in a different draft they don't belong where they're going to get picked?
Well, all I can do is give a grade that I'd give for any. I've made the mistake of trying to, like, put grades on guys where they kind of would be drafted. So I put a second on Anthony Richardson, a second on – well, I thought we'd go in second. A second on Will Levis. The reality is a 6.3 means above-average starter. And at no point did I think Anthony Richardson or Will Levis would be above-average NFL starter. So this year I'm going to be true to the grades. But in doing so, you know, a 62, which is an average NFL starter, that's a 62, which is an average starter who could lose his, you know, you're not looking to replace him right away, but he's never going to be a playoff caliber starter.
That's probably
Quinn Ewers. And that's, you know, those guys to me are, if you're a quarterback, you get drafted in a second there. Yeah. But the reality is your grade's equal to like a third.
Where would Cam Ward and Shadur be slotted in last year's draft?
Who all were the quarterbacks last year?
Well, Caleb Williams.
No.
Jaden Daniels.
Behind.
Yeah.
Behind Bo Nix. They would have been behind all those guys.
Behind
Penix. They would have been 6 and 7. I mean, they're way ahead of Spencer Rattler or whoever else was right there. But it would have been 6 and 7. None of those guys, I don't think, once again, I got to look at them to be fair. But my guess is, because I had pretty good grades, I don't think any of those guys would have been ahead of. I gave a true 63 to Michael Penix. I don't think any of them are. I'll be surprised if any of them are ahead. Part of what I want to see is traits. Like, you got to have traits. Explosiveness, arm talent, velocity, movement. You know, people love to put a cape on for Shedeur Sanders, and then they love to put a cape on for mobile quarterbacks. You can't do both. Shedeur Sanders is not mobile. Well, Kurt, he can't get away from anything.
Ben Curtis put on his cape. He was the star of the internet because earlier, I guess, during the playoffs. What did they say? Someone quote tweeted. They use his picture and go, what quarterback, Justin Herbert, when I have U.S. currency on him, and they use the picture of Kirk Benkert, and he was like, what the hell? Why am I the guy getting shots taken at him? Well, he's also fashioned as a quarterback expert, and he has Shedeur. He's caping for Cam Ward.
Well, Cam has the traits. Like, I'll be surprised. My guess is Shedeur is going to be a lot more accurate because Cam leaves a lot of throws behind players, but Cam has traits the teams love. Like, they'll work on the passing, like Jalen Hurts. Jalen always threw a really pretty football. He just was slow to recognize, and there was some stuff that. But the fact is, he's a great leader. He's very strong and physical. You have things with his legs that you do that sets him apart. If he was just a passing quarterback, he'd be just a guy at best. But he's not, and that's not the way the league's played. And yet, Cam Ward can do. Cam Ward has good size, good arm talent, multifaceted. He has traits. Shedeur is going to have to win with his mind, and he's going to have to win with accuracy. Because the reality is, he's just a pocket passer. So people will probably.
I don't know. I heard that Dwayne Haskins was a running quarterback, uh-huh. And I'm not ready for him to be. You know,
Stephen
what?
A. the quarterback he's... guru.
And Shedeur is athletic. Was like I heard Shedeur's athletic. And
Dwayne
you...
Haskins was a pocket.
I don't know. I watched Shedeur against Kansas. It didn't look that athletic when they were chasing him down.
Not athletic
making him
at all.
Miserable.
And that's Kansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's really striking. When you first watch him, you think he's going to have some mobility. He's Deion's son. And when you see him, you're like, well, the mom must
that's
be so
funny.
Rich because he
yeah,
I was no gonna, greatness.
I was wondering about the mom. You got one of the greatest athletes of all time, and this is the product of it.
Well, and
Shiloh
ain't that athletic. I mean, athletic, relatively speaking, to the rest of us, but as far as a college safety, nah.
No, exactly.
Man, he knew.
Yeah, it was weird. We're talking about one of the great athletes of all time. That's why he loves Travis Hunter. He sees himself in Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Athletic, can play corner, can play wide receiver, like – he sees himself in Travis Hunter, and Travis is basically one of his sons now, and he treats him as such. And Travis is special. A lot of times it just happens. Look, Bronny with LeBron, Michael Jordan's kids, Scottie Pippen's kid looks like a
camp
in a lollipop guild.
What?
Well, I mean, a little bit.
He
looks like broke down Fred Van Vliet.
Mm. Wow. I don't know what's going on here.
Broke down Fred Van Vliet.
Yeah.
Well, if your patio furniture is broke down, well, then you need Houston Powder Coaters. Houston Powder Coaters are going to fix it. Houston Powder Coaters, well, maybe they'll fix it. You got to text Robin, and she wants you to send her a picture of your patio furniture, and she'll tell you whether or not your patio furniture is savable. I mean, and you want to save it because the metal right now is not as good, not nearly as good as the older metal. I don't know how old your patio furniture is, but even older patio furniture, that's worth saving. It is worth saving. Boat parts, car parts. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's metal, Houston Powder Coaters. You look around the city, you go up into the Woodlands in their waterway, and you go to NRG, and you go downtown to the Ferris wheel, and you go, I mean, I'm telling you, there's probably not many places that you look where Houston Powder Coaters hasn't touched it. Houston Powder Coaters been around. They're going to be around. The Google reviews are tremendous. Everybody loves dealing with Robin and Houston Powder Coaters. You're looking for a great way to make that stuff look new again. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. That's HoustonPowderCoaters.com. Tell Robin you heard it right here.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I have not seen, do we have an injury report from yesterday for our Houston Texans?
Everyone's
do we know, is there any new?
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
No injuries.
No, I didn't look at it. I usually won't look at it until Thursday because this is the one that's pretty important.
Today's Thursday.
Friday's the most important.
Well, they're playing on Saturday. So
this one's probably.
Yeah, this is the one.
This is the drop dead injury report today.
Yeah. Well.
I could find one.
Yeah, I'm looking. They didn't send one. I mean, maybe they're lazy right now. Maybe they don't understand they're in the playoffs, and we need to see.
Looking at this, this was from, I think, yesterday. Azeez did not practice. We know Shaq Mason ain't practicing. Juice Scruggs didn't practice.
Houston, how's Christian Harris?
He wasn't on the injury report.
Okay.
Dalton Schultz, Nico Collins, rest-related was limited. So if we're worried about anyone, I guess it would be Azeez and Juice Scruggs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously we would be worried about that. That would mean Kendrick Green. Yeah,
so,
Juice.
Okay, so this is the update. Azeez was a limited participant yesterday, so that's better. Let's see. I can't see. So that I guess that's the big one, and we'll see where Juice lands as well.
Okay. So, anything? Any changes? Anything that updates from what we were talking about yesterday? Is there any more optimism in the air? Is there more Patrick Mahomes fear?
No, I don't think anything changes. You still have to prove you can beat Kansas City in Kansas City in a round that they've never lost in under Patrick Mahomes. In a cold weather environment, it's one of the toughest things you can do in sports right now is upending Kansas City in Kansas City in the playoffs. It just doesn't happen. So, it's the same thing. I think Juice needs to play. They need to be at relatively full strength. I don't want to see Kenyon Green in this game.
Not Kenyon, Kendrick.
Do we want to see either one?
You want to see Kenyon Green?
No, I don't want to see
Kenyon's back too. You know that, right?
Yeah, I saw him in uniform, out there.
Are you sure that Kendrick would play ahead of Kenyon?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Probably so.
Yes.
Boy,
I'm
how
sure
done is Kenyon Green? Kenyon Green is cooked.
Why are we sure? The Texans gave him a long leash.
Well, this is year three.
Even this year, awful.
But you're not going to pick up the option in year five.
But I mean, just for if someone gets hurt on Saturday.
He could play. He could play. It's possible. He can run block a little. Not great with pass pro, which is, I don't love him on Chris Jones. I'm just going to be the first one to say it in Houston.
Thanks for that.
If Kenyon Green plays, and you heard it here first, if Kenyon Green has to come in and block Chris Jones, I don't think he's going to do well.
Okay. You heard it here first.
Some of my modeling that, and some of my
numbers.
That's
how you became a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, some of my numbers say that Chris Jones could have a big game.
Okay.
Well, Blake Fisher's going to get a taste of Chris Jones. They like to put him on the outside and rush.
I know. I don't love that for Blake Fisher. I frankly don't love that for anybody. Although, as you mentioned, Dell, they're not a prolific pass rush team.
John talked about that yesterday. They don't have a legit, obvious edge rush advantage.
Now, Karlaftis lines up on that side a lot, though. That's where he comes from. He comes from that side, and Blake Fisher's going to have, I think he's going to have Karlaftis a lot on Saturday. And that's not even, that's not fun either. There's nothing fun about trying to block Karlaftis all day.
And I don't like Spagnuolo with all that time for, I don't like playoff Spagnuolo. I don't like all the time he's going to have to draw up things that he's had to figure out, okay. They can't handle this, this, and this. Let's punish them over and over again. I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, you got an advantage, though, defensively against Andy Reid. So you make that up right there.
Yes. Andy Reid, known coach who gets out-coached in playoff games.
Out-coached.
Andy Reid.
Yep.
Well, that was the knock on him
early. Yeah, with the Eagles
at Philadelphia, mm-hmm. that he couldn't get over the hump in Philadelphia.
Well, he changed that, didn't he?
And they wanted, yeah, the Eagles fans, because the Eagles fans are pretty smart. They wanted to get rid of him, and it's a good thing they did. They won a Super Bowl without him.
And they're,
I mean, Andy's won some without them.
Some, sure, but they're fine. They're back. And
how do you think
real
Carson
contender.
Wentz would have done with Andy Reid? Would we be having a different conversation?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You think
what,
so?
What do you think?
I mean, he was with Doug Peterson, who was a good mentor. Yeah. Frank Reich.
We
he
had
was
one
just
year.
Fine with those guys. He just fell off a. I mean, he literally went from being an MVP
he
candidate
got hurt.
To falling
so
off.
So you
a
think
cliff.
It would be the same if Carson Wentz is out there Saturday as it is with Mahomes?
Not this version of Carson Wentz.
No. If he had him in Philadelphia
as a young player.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Would he have fallen off the world again? I don't know.
I don't know.
With Andy Reid?
Well, Andy Reid saved Alex Smith. Although he kind of got it going for him late in his San Francisco career. But he was a competent. All right. He's not that much of a bust. The conversation turned on him when he got to Kansas City.
Yeah.
So I think Carson Wentz would have been better. Doug Peterson couldn't save Trevor Lawrence. So we've seen him not do well with a talented quarterback. So I'm going to take Andy Reid as the quarterback developer over Doug Peterson.
Carson Wentz may not be wired.
He might have been an average.
From what I understand, I thought his wiring was what made him, what separated him. And then I come to find out his wiring's not great, which was a little surprising to me coming from North Dakota State. I just kind of figured he'd be. But let's see who have been the quarterbacks. Trey Lance we're just talking about
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz, jeez. Oh. Carson Wentz, Trey Lance. I don't know if I'm going to draft a quarterback from North Dakota State if one comes out.
Wait a minute.
Oh, they've got one coming out this year, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're at the top of my list to draft.
Well, just because those two, they're totally different. This kid could be totally different.
Ethan's kind of thinking.
Oh, yeah, every Penn State running back, he sucks. Well, wait a minute.
What about Ohio State?
Here comes Saquon. He's different. Saquon's different.
CJ's breaking the Ohio State quarterback mold.
Right.
Well,
right?
Until this year.
So if you'd have been he's an Ohio State quarterback.
Haskins,
can't take him.
Cardale Jones.
Oh, man. Oh, guy
Braxton
after guy.
Miller,
after
who
guy.
Became a wide receiver.
It was guy after guy after guy.
I don't
they
know
all
how
suck.
You can.
What about Texas? You got Vince, then you got Colt, you got Sam Howell.
Sam Howell Ellinger, you mean?
I mean Sam Howell. Ellinger, not Howell. Yeah, Sam Ellinger,
North Carolina.
Sam Ellinger, and now you get a taste of Quinn Ewers. What do you think about that?
Yeah, tasty.
QBU, Texas.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the rookie? You mean Vince, the rookie of the year? Okay.
What else did he do?
He had that year.
Yeah,
his first 2 years were good.
Yes,
and that's what he was on
a dream team in Philadelphia.
What do you want out of a guy?
That's what you want when you draft the quarterback.
And he backed up Michael Vick in Philadelphia.
In the top five. You want him to be good for 2 years.
That dream team?
You usually like it to last the whole contract.
Do you want him to get through the first contract and be overjoyed to pay him a second time? That's
what
you want from your quarterback when you
draft
him that high?
Yes.
Vince was part of the only dream team in NFL history.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Vince called it a dream team, and then they went out and underwhelmed. Everyone.
Well, but it was still the only dream team I've ever heard of in NFL history.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to break it. You're way over. Hey, I know your time is different in Cabo.
No,
but
we're
behind the break here in America.
It's the same minutes. It's just a different hour.
In America, it's different.
Is it 7:56 where you are?
It is.
No, it's 8:02.
Is he 6 minutes behind
it's
seven, us in Cabo?
It's actually 7:02 here.
Oh,
so
it's not 6:56.
No, it's 02.
Okay.
02, yeah. It's the same minutes, just a different hour.
I don't know. You're in a different country. I'm not sure what goes on there.
Mm-mm. Well, I tell you this. I don't want to be selling my car here. I don't want to sell my car in Mexico. I can tell you that. I want to sell it in America where I got GiveMeTheVIN.com. I don't think John Clay Wolf will come down here and pick the car up. I know he'll pick the car up. He'll pick it up. He'll bring you a check. He'll do it all. I mean, you have very little... If anything to do when it comes to selling your car to John Clay Wolf at GiveMeTheVIN.com, because John Clay Wolf is going to do it all. I mean, the dude takes care of business, okay? So find out what your car is worth at GiveMeTheVIN.com, then go up to other places, see what they'll give you, And if it's not as much as John Clay Wolf, you just go back and say, yep, I'll take that John Clay Wolf. But if they offer more than John Clay Wolf, you go back and say, John Clay Wolf, CarMax offered this. Okay, he'll either beat it or send you $100. This is a guarantee that you're going to get the most for your vehicle. But you have to go. There's one place you have to go. Give me the VIN.com. Give me the VIN.com.